Oh, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. Happy to report that I am chatting with Chris Kimball, founder and editor of Kimball Charting Solutions. As always, Chris has sent me a handful of charts that I will be posting below this interview for everyone to follow along. The first two charts are more of an update. The second chart is an update on the first chart that deals with the 10-year yield. This is a long-term chart that is showing the downtrend that yields have been in, but as yields have touched off of these or this downtrend line, that's usually signified a start of a bear market. But even more importantly, one thing that you wanted to update here is that support line that you have, that little blue line that was drawn really just from 2017 through now. It's starting to break, and that's just quite frankly not a good sign. Please share some more information here, Chris.
Thanks, Corey. Always honored to be on the show. These two charts, everyone, are the same charts as Corey has mentioned. For whatever reason, yields have made a successive series of lower highs now for almost 30 years. You'll see that there's a falling resistance line. When this resistance line was hit in 2000 and 2007, yields and stocks tanked, as we all know, at that time. So the rally in interest rates that everybody was all concerned about the Fed last year and raising rates and different things. Well, you'll see by looking at these charts, yields hit 30-year resistance. The second chart is a monthly chart. Momentum is more overbought in September of last year than at the 2007 and at the 2000 highs. Yields have been rolling over, and now they're, as Corey mentioned, is breaking the support line. And this, the first chart, as I mentioned with Corey off the air, is we shared this 8 days ago with our customers, saying that stocks and yields are poised to tank again if this support breaks. And so we're seeing a key break in support. And this was all discussed from a chart pattern basis before the Fed came out this week and said, we're not going to raise rates for the rest of this year. So, you know, the patterns were ahead of any of the Fed moves.
And what is interesting is we've further seen a rush into treasuries, which has even further pushed these yields lower. Even look at today, 10-year is even lower than as it is on that chart that you pointed out from just the 20th. Let's again also just touch on the fact that each time the yield, the 10-year yield, has touched that downtrend line, it did result in a bear market pretty quickly after. Are you thinking the same thing is going to happen here when considering the 10-year did touch that trend line back in 2018?
Yeah, you know, Corey, after, you know, everybody defines a bear market differently, you know, the traditional definition is a 20% decline, and as we all know, yields touched this line in September, and the S&P through around Christmas fell, 19.8? So some people would split a hair and say, oh, it's not a bear market or whatever. You know, to me, it's just the bigger picture that, you know, with yields breaking down here, we've tried to say this for months that, you know, weak yields are not good for stocks. And so we're now, why I wanted to share this with all the listeners is, you know, they're breaking support, and, you know, they sometimes things become self-fulfilling. You know, all the talk now is the 2-10-year spread going to be inverted? And if it is, you know, that sends even all the more bearish signals. And so you'll start hearing a lot of talk about that. But, you know, I think we've shared it together on this show, you know, Corey, before, that whether it's a 2, 5, 10, or 30, all of these hit 30-year falling resistance lines last September, and they've all rolled over. And that's just traditionally not the best news for the bullish case for stocks.
No, it really isn't. Let's also look at the next chart, which is the S&P 500. You have a number of dates outlined here, and if anyone takes a closer look, you see a similarity between a lot of the dates, mid to late March. September is also outlined, or late September, early October is also outlined. What are you pointing out here? A seasonality more trade?
Thanks, Corey. This has been a fun chart that we've been sharing for 15 years. And one thing that we started noticing from 2000 to 2003, that there was significant inflection points that took place around the first day of spring, which is March 21st, and the first day of fall. And so when people look at this chart, you'll see that the major turning points in the 2000 to 2003 bear market took place within plus or minus 10 days of the first day of spring or fall. And then as the market rallied for several years off the 2003 low to 2007, those seasonal dates meant nothing, Corey. They were just meaningless. There was no significant turns on those dates. But then lo and behold, the high for 2007 took place on October the 1st, which was just, as we know, a couple of weeks from the first day of fall. And then when you look at the bottom of the financial crisis, it took place on March the 9th, again, which was just a couple of weeks from that low. So then we've had this 10-year bull run, and these seasonal dates have been meaningless again. But since I've been doing this chart, I've never seen this happen before, Corey, is that the weekly closing high for 2018 occurred exactly on the first day of fall, which was September the 21st. And then lo and behold, the winter solstice, or the shortest day of the year, the first day of winter, took place every year on December 21st. And so what's the low of last year? It's December 21st. And so I just thought it's that time of the year that, while we're on the radio show, Corey, that we could talk about this, because the first day of spring took place this week. And so when you look at yields breaking down and this seasonality chart, I just thought it was just kind of timely that, as we said off the air, Corey, I, for as long as I live, I don't know why these markets have turned or hit key highs and lows around these seasonal dates, but it's happened. And I think you should be empowered by knowing these things to always be wary of tops or bottoms around these timeframes.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know what? There's no reason for it, as you said, other than you just look back in history and it has happened pretty consistently around these times. So who knows? This very well could be, again, the start of a more topping pattern for the markets. Let's also move down to the NYSE. You're pointing out here a downtrend, about a 1 year long downtrend, that the NYSE was creeping up to the upper part of this downtrend. It does seem like we are getting just a general rollover today. What do you think, though? This downtrend, it could carry on or continue on?
To me, what's important about this chart, Corey, is the number of holdings inside this index. It's not traded by anyone, but it's still, to me, very important to watch, because there's around 2,500, give or take, somewhere in that range of issues that this represents, versus, you know, the S&P is just 500 and the Dow is 30. Well, the S&P is just a few percent from the all-time highs of last year, right? And the NASDAQ, the QQQ, is just a couple of percent from last year's highs. But when you expand the list into the NYSE, you know, Corey, last year's high, you know, it's still, 10% below the January highs of last year. And since January of last year, you see this index creating a series of lower highs and lower lows. And so the NYSE index is a weekly chart. It's now rallied from the bottom in, 12 weeks to the top, and there's a chance it's creating a bearish reversal as it's very near the top of this, you know, trading channel. So when you combine yield breakdown, seasonality, and the NYSE reversing here, you know, if you've got a lot of long positions, I wouldn't give them too much room to the downside from a risk management perspective.
So this really is, taking all these charts into consideration, negative for the markets. You could very well make the argument that we could be in for another significant pullback. Can you maybe determine or define what another pullback could look like? Is it taking us below the lows that were hit at the tail end of last year?
Corey, that's, you know, the billion-dollar question. It's, you know, I humbly will say it's above my pay grade. I don't know how many, if selling gets started here. What the Christmas lows get taken out, if they would, you know, that's the first big test, Corey, you know, which would be what, roughly 15-16% below current levels, because we've almost had a 20% rally. But where things could get really ugly, you know, that's huge support, but where things could get really ugly is if that's taken out to the downside. And the time will just tell, you know, where emotions, you know, are. We've traded to the long side since the Christmas lows. I need to disclose this 3 days ago. We took a S&P short position. You know, we still got some long individual stocks, but we did short the S&P a few days ago, primarily because of the action in yields and banks. And if somebody goes and looks on our Twitter account, you'll see that we posted on there that the pattern that took place in the end of September in banks, banks fell 20% in a matter of a few weeks, and they've made an almost identical pattern again, Corey, just this week. And so when banks started making that same pattern, that's when we decided to short the S&P. And, you know, the better move, humbly, would have been to short the banks over the S&P because they're a lot weaker.
Yeah, they are. But still, we are seeing this general weakness across the board, and that is after the Fed came out even more dovish, but it does seem like money is flowing more into the safer investments rather than a full risk-on move. So, hey, some interesting charts that you've pointed out. It's always great following along with your work here, Chris. If anybody wants more information on Chris and Kimball Charting Solutions, click the link below or email me directly, and I am happy to put you in touch. Chris, thanks again for your time. Have a great weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks again.